Good evening, everyone. It is 7 p.m. and this is the regular assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska. It is Tuesday, April 27, 2021. Excuse me. Kim, would you please call the roll?
Yes. Assembly members Morrison?
Present.
Ryan Howe? I just texted him to see if he was logging back on. Dalrymple?
Here.
David Powell? Corson?
Here.
Gilbert?
Here.
And Mayor Prasanka.
I am here as well. Tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Ryan Howe, but I see he is not here. So I'm going to go to my favorite Pledge of Allegiance, sir, which is Patty Gilbert. Assemblymember Gilbert, do you have your flag handy? Oh, Assemblymember Howe got back just in time, but we'll let Assemblymember Gilbert take it. You got the flag out.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Assemblymember Gilbert. There is no ceremonial matters tonight. Persons to be heard. Section WMC 3.05.040C states that the chair may call to order any person who is breaching the peace or being disorderly by speaking out without recognition, engaging in booing or catcalls, speaking vulgarities, name-calling, personal attacks, or engaging in other conduct which is determined by the chair to be disruptive of the meeting. Any person so disrupting a meeting of the assembly may be removed and barred from further attendance at the meeting unless permission to return or remain is granted by the majority vote of the assembly. City clerk Lane, do we have anyone for persons to be heard tonight?
Yes, Pastor Sue. I'm so sorry, Pastor Sue. I mispronounce your name. With the Island of Faith to give the invocation.
Pastor Sue, would you give us your last name so we can say it correctly, please?
It's Belita.
Belita. Pastor Belita. Belita. Would you please lead the invocation tonight?
Thank you very much. With respect to the diversity of voices, beliefs, and practices that call out to a power beyond our individual selves, I offer the following prayer. Wise and Holy One, bless the public servants of this assembly. Help them to use their authority to serve faithfully and to promote our common life. Give them ears to hear the voices of the people they are called to serve. Give them courage to speak and to act with justice. Give them wisdom to quell division. Guide them with your compassion, your patience, and your care for all of your creation, the waters, the lands, the creatures, and the peoples. We ask all this in confidence and in hope. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming out and doing that for us. Thank you very much. Kim, do we have anybody else for persons to be heard tonight?
No, Mr. Mayor, I have nobody else who signed up.
Thank you. Does anybody have any amendments to the agenda? I am seeing no hands, so we will move on to conflicts of interest.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to declare a conflict of interest in the executive session at the end of the meeting.
That regarding the union update, and for the record, that Assemblymember Corson's wife benefits directly from the union contract, as we do the same for non-union employees as we do for union employees. So I appreciate that, Assemblymember Corson. We will recluse you unless the Assembly would like to reverse that decision. Thank you. So at that point, Assemblymember Corson will just let you not sign into the executive session. excuse me, item six, consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
And move, do we have a second?
Second, Howe.
Seconded by Howe. Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly members Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
I think, Ann, you're muted there.
Yes.
And Mayor Prusanka?
Yes. Item 8, Borough Clerk's file. Clerk Lane, what do you have for us?
Oh, I think you have the manager's report first.
Tonight we have, well, actually in the agenda, it's 8 and then 7. So we'll go with you first tonight. I'm just following the agenda that you gave me. So we got remedial counting later on tonight.
Okay. I don't have a whole lot to report. I didn't have a whole lot in my report. I had been on vacation. I want to thank Cindy very much for filling in while I was gone. Sounds like there was an emergency meeting, and I appreciate her stepping up and clerking that meeting. I do want to report that I was at the old medical center today for more than 4 hours, going through and setting up auctions for the items that are left for sale. Those are not live yet. The manager is going to go through those as depicted in our policy and approve those to go live. There's a few people that have expressed interest in certain items before it was turned over back over to the city. And I have a list of people who wanted certain things. So I did contact those people and explain to them how to log on to our website to sign up to receive notifications when auctions are placed live. And so I can't say enough about that auction site. It's easy. And so far I have 80 things, that 80 plus things that need approval to put on there from the Wrangell Medical Center. And I think we're going to see things kind of in phases, because it's just too much for one person to do. So plus it's just nice to be able to just do it in phases, like items. And then once we go down the line, I'll add more items and make them go live. So other than that, if anybody has any questions.
Any questions for Clerk Lane?
Mr. Mayor, I did tell Kim that the minimum bid on items needs to be high enough that we raise $2.4 million to take care of the demolition of the building. So some items will have a minimum bid of about $425,000.
This desk is $425,000.
Exactly.
I'm looking forward to buying a CAT scan machine myself. I've always wanted my own, so I'm looking forward to all the money I'm going to save. All right. Any other questions for Clerk Lane? Seeing none, we'll go to item 7, and that is the manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a couple of staff members tonight to invite to comment, but I do have some things I'd like to go over first. The first item I want to mention is the community collaborations event coming up on May 7th and 8th. Kate Thomas, our Parks and Rec Director, previously provided a report to the Assembly about that. I think it's been a couple of meetings ago. This is our effort to clean up basically our downtown corridor, starting from the ferry terminal and the city dock, running all the way through the downtown area and on into the Heritage Harbor area. And we will be deploying the maximum amount of staff that we can let free for the day on the 7th. And we are asking for volunteers from the community to help on the 7th and the 8th to do cleanup. And we have a flyer that has gone out. We will be providing lunch. We will be providing tools. We will be providing PPE for folks. And so we really encourage people to get out and help us clean up the community. This will be helping us make downtown a place where we all want to get back to being able to congregate as we are able to run through getting COVID out of our system, getting COVID out of the community, getting COVID out of the world, and refresh our community, welcoming our visitors back. We're going to see mostly independent visitors this year, but we want to be a welcoming community. So we're encouraging anybody that's interested, including Assembly members, who may want to volunteer on the 7th and 8th to assist in any way they can. And we'll get the flyer information out, but it's being deployed all over the place. But I wanted to let the assembly know that that's going on. I had a conversation today with Nick Omer from Trident Seafoods. This is something we already knew, but he called to make sure that we had official communication from Trident that they will not be opening their plant this summer. I had a conversation with him about what it would take to get the plant back open here in Wrangell, and we're going to need to see about 50%, somewhere between 40 and 50% more fish chums that are projected to return to Southeast Alaska to be returning in order to generate enough returns to get that plant open. So hopefully we'll see that in the future sometime, but it's not in the cards for this summer. And Nick expressed his, you know, his concern at that. You know, he understands, and Trident understands what a big part of the community that the processing plant is. So they wanted to make sure we knew what was going on. I want to just proudly announce that Steve Miller, our Port and Harbor Director, Harbor Master, completed the National Association of Counties leadership class. I actually had a call from one of the folks at NACO saying what a great job he was doing. He texted me a copy of his certificate. So I just want to say great job to Steve for working through that and getting through the class and obviously showing some great leadership skills. So thanks to Steve for doing that. So now we have two that have made it through the class. Kate Thomas has done it, and now Steve Miller as well. I also want to thank, moving on to the next subject, I want to thank Amber profusely for working through getting information to Murkowski's, Senator Murkowski's office, both this week and last week. We had calls from Sherry Klein, the representative in Ketchikan, asking for information. Last week, we needed a summary on the dams, on our reservoir dams, because Senator Murkowski wanted information to potentially be able to include a project and information in the new WRDA bill, the Water Resources Bill. And then this week, yesterday, we had a request from Murkowski's office for a list of all of our capital projects, not just our priority ones, but everything, so that, that her office has an understanding of what our capital needs are moving into the future. So Amber had already been working on that long-term capital list, capital projects list, and then she and I met, and Carol provided some additional information, and we provided that list to Murkowski's office yesterday at about noon. So my thanks to Amber for bird dogging both of those things. I wanted to let the assembly know that I'm finalizing the contract for assistance with finance services so that we can get some help in the finance department moving through some things. So that is in the final stages. I also want to let the assembly know that Robbie has been taking a leadership role, working not only in trying to get information on how we can work with our AccuFund accounting system that none of us are very well versed in doing. He's taking a leadership role in the IT work around the community, around the city as well. He's stepping up to a plate and then in a number of ways, but we're making some headway getting into AccuFund, and we'll be able to get some of the information that is not in the system in there so that we'll be able to provide more accurate information on this year's budget and year-to-date information so that we can provide that to you as a comparison for the budget information you'll be getting for FY22. I also want to announce and say thank you to First Bank. They have awarded the library a grant in the amount of $1,000 for this year's summer reading program. So our thanks to First Bank for that. I also have good news in that our new fire truck has made its way from Florida to Seattle and is now having the last bit of work done on it over the next couple of weeks. So hopefully we will see our new fire truck here in about 3 weeks. And I've got some pictures I can send out to the assembly. So that's exciting. On the opposite side of the spectrum, bad and good, I had a call yesterday about 8:30 in the morning from Steve Miller, who let me know we had a fire on our travel lift. Thankfully, it was contained to the alternator, and they were able to get a spare part in Petersburg. Mike Lane flew that over from Petersburg for us, so we were only down maybe a couple of hours. So I appreciate our staff getting on that and making sure that our operations at the Marine Service Center weren't down for very long. I also want to let the assembly know that the police chief has been accepted into some FBI training that's being paid for entirely by the FBI, all the travel and training costs. So he'll be doing that in May. And so that's really exciting. The other thing I want to let the assembly know before I invite some of the other staff to speak is that I will be, I had a meeting last Monday with the mayor and the vice mayor regarding some of the challenges I'm having with the budget and the information in AccuFund and pulling things together and the amount of time that that's taking. We've only been able to get one department budget out to you. I expect to be able to get a handful more out this week. We'll be having a bit of a schedule change, but we will, I'll be getting new information out to you here in the next couple of days and expect to start seeing some more information very soon. But the information I want to get out, the information that needs to get out to you is accurate. And that's taking more time than expected given our lack of a finance director and our inability to get the information out of AccuFund that we need the way we need to. So my apologies for that, but we will continue moving forward. If there are no questions on the information that I've provided, I'd like to ask Captain Spray to provide the COVID update, if that's okay.
Please, Captain Spray, go ahead.
Oh, the plant, the leaves are alive inside the frame.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Just trying to get my computer correct here. Just my screen real quick. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you are all seeing that on your screen. Yeah? Okay, great. This is the most important screen right here. Well, it was the most important screen. There you go. That's the most important screen. Wrangell right now has only two active cases, and we're very excited about that. Obviously, we want to see it at zero, but we do, we have come down a bit. We were at 16 there a week and so ago. So we've gotten a lot of people tested. I know Search has tested a lot of folks in the last little bit as close contacts and identifying that, and just really did a great job. And I just want to thank everyone for their hard work. It's hard to stay home and do nothing if you're put in quarantine. So I just really want to thank everyone for doing the right things, for reaching out to close contacts, and for getting tested when you felt symptomatic or you needed to, because that reflects right there in those numbers. We were able to get them back down, and we're not still in an increase. So kudos to Wrangell right there. We are sitting at the intermediate level right now. Our case numbers have come down a bit, and we swapped with Southeast Southern just in the last week. They've had an uptick, quite a significant uptick. So, but it's good to see that we are coming back down again. We are sitting at the 7.7 cases per 100,000. So that is excellent to see. And that map, of course, we want everybody in the yellow or, nothing on there at all. We are still seeing that dark orange or the red through the majority of the state. And we're hoping that as we get to a higher vaccination levels throughout the state, that we can see some more yellow color change here. Our cases as represented today, which are yesterday's numbers through testing and whatnot, 138 resident cases with 8 non-resident cases. And you can see that we have 40 folks hospitalized at this time. And our death number, thankfully, not zero, but still fairly low in the greater picture of things. This is reflect for the entire state, the availability of our ICU beds, and we have green, and that makes us happy. So we have ICU beds available, which is awesome. 41, which is definitely also an increase of bed openings from the last time we spoke. In March. And for Southeast region, again, we don't have very many beds to start with, but we only have 5 ICU beds taken up and 57 other beds taken up. And as far as I know, in Wrangell, we do not have anyone hospitalized, but I can't confirm that. That is just what I know right now. Back in the day, there was, this is what our epidemic curve looked like, and we were hoping to see that downward slide, and that was our trajectory back, you know, towards the end of March. We did see that, and we kind of leveled off, which is great. We did see a little spike, and we believe that was still due to spring break and kind of matched up timing-wise. And we had some sports start up, and we saw a lot of cases within the school districts. And so anyhow, they're anticipating leveling out for our region for Southeast Northern. As you guys are well aware, we have still our ordinances in place if you are traveling to Wrangell, and the state of Alaska DHSS kind of emphasize each community in their own little way as they go along. And just recently they had Wrangell on there and highlighted what our local ordinances are for traveling into the state, or into Wrangell, excuse me. Last week's testing at the airport, Surge again is conducting all testing through our community, and that includes testing at the airport. This was their positive tests reported statewide. And they identified 22 positives last week. They are still seeing an increase of people who just don't want to participate in anything to do with the screening process. And as we see these flight loads come in and more travelers coming to Alaska in general, I anticipate this number is going to go up unless something drastic changes. They had 4,622 folks that stopped for screening at the airports. It is kind of good to see that many people tested, as you can see on the screen, that many people tested at the airports. 2,618 people stopped, got tested, and did their part. And, you know, close to 1,000 people came in with a test. So, but again, we have that 22 folks that were identified, and we just want to keep that number nice and low. So, as far as vaccinations go, we are still administering all three, the Pfizer, Moderna, and now the Johnson & Johnson again, as that's been opened up on the 23rd of April. Statewide, we have 42.5% of eligible individuals that are fully vaccinated, which is awesome. Wrangell is sitting at 56.5% of our eligible individuals are vaccinated. By region, we are in the highest region as far as Southeast Northern region, with 63.4%. of our eligible individuals vaccinated, so very good. And as I said, they brought back the Johnson & Johnson after a lot of review. They had determined they had somewhere in the 7.8 million doses had been administered to the Johnson & Johnson, and they had 15 individuals with a negative effect. And so again, they kind of took it back, did some discussions, and then decided to go forward with Johnson & Johnson. So they opened that back up again as of the 23rd. And so we have three eligible or available vaccines for us. There's a big push in Alaska. Sleeves up in Alaska is their tagline, trying just to open us back up. We realize, you know, that's what we've been told by all the scientists, is we're going to get through this by getting a lot of people vaccinated. So the big push is sleeves up Alaska and let's get open back up safely. So if you haven't, or if you have someone who is curious about the vaccine, the website is on there. There's a phone number to call for vaccine information, and their website is really good. There's a lot of places that are open, and actually they're opening vaccinations at the airports. With the travel advisories, the health advisories that came out from the governor. They just recently changed that yesterday. And they changed it so you can sign up for either a test or you can sign up for a vaccine upon arrival, depending on what airport you're signing up. And it gives you exactly where you go to test when you arrive at your community and some options for vaccination. So very exciting, all just trying to get through this. So as I said, the first slide was the best. We like to see that our numbers were down much lower. And there's a lot of things coming up. And we're looking towards summer, 4th of July. I know the Chamber of Commerce has a lot of ads out looking for support for a lot of different activities. And we want to see those activities happen, and we can't do it without everybody's participation and just staying safe as a community and as a whole. So that, I believe, is the end of my report tonight.
Thank you, Jamie. Or sorry, Dorianne. Sorry, it's reading Jamie's name down here. Thank you, Dorianne. Does anybody have any questions for Captain Spray? I think you're off the hook.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to invite Carol Rushmore to give an update on the Institute property. She had a meeting today and has some information for us.
Please go ahead, Carol.
Yep, thank you. Good evening. Just briefly, the preliminary plat for the Institute subdivision was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission earlier this month. The Corps of Engineers permit has been submitted and that is being reviewed right now. The Corps is coming back with different questions, and so Trevor with R&M Engineering is responding to those, and we probably will see it go out in public notice in early May, I imagine. We met with Trevor today, staff did, to go over a number of things. One of them really is dealing with sort of the final utility designs. We were sort of going over some of the questions concerning that and what some of those needs are. So staff will be working on that information and making sure we have any upgrades necessary, know what needs to happen to be able to serve that and provide and have our existing sewer and water system be able to provide services to that. He provided a construction cost estimate for the entire build out, which is about $3.4 million, give or take. And we had him break it down into phases. Right now there's 40 lots within the subdivision. Basically each phase would have about 20 lots. And the cost is broken down more or less in half. And so we're moving forward with the next phase, and part of our discussion today is what is that construction plan going to look like and what is the financing plan going to look like. So we will be working over that over the next several weeks, trying to come up with that. I know there's some funding within the Economic Development Fund that is available for this project. There were some things that were suggested that we could probably go in and start on, because the first phase has very little wetlands in it, and maybe we could do some clearing and grubbing. But again, it's working on that full sort of finance plan and construction plan. And so as we develop that, we'll be coming back to the assembly with that information. If you have any questions, let me know.
Okay, thanks, Carol. Does anybody have any questions for the Economic Development Director?
Mr. Mayor, I just would like to add to that. I think probably best case scenario, and Carol, correct me if I'm wrong, is that we're probably at least 12 weeks at a minimum best case scenario away from being ready to go to bid on something.
Yeah, probably is the best case.
Okay. Any follow-up questions or thoughts on that? Doesn't look like it. Please take it away, Lisa.
Mr. Mayor, that's all I have for my report tonight.
Thank you. Does anybody have any final questions for the city manager? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to item 9, mayor and assembly business. Does anybody have any assembly business that they would like to discuss? Okay, I have one item of interest. I did reach out to Representative Ortez here this week regarding the ferry. I'm extremely disappointed that they continue to have staff members testing positive while en route from Bellingham. This places communities along the route at risk, passengers at risk. I've had reports that staff members on the ferry crew are not wearing masks, which places every member of the passenger list at risk and the other crew. I've asked Dad to look into this and to explain to me why you cannot get on a ferry. I watched Tanner Thomason try to get on the ferry. He had gone and tested like he was supposed to and was unable to get on because his results were not available, and he actually got left behind. They pulled out without him, but they pulled out with three staff who were infected because they didn't have to go through the same rigorous protocols as all of the passengers did. This is absolutely ridiculous, and with small communities depend on these ferries. I appreciate if a ferry breaks down like it did, that's one thing. But pulling into Ketchikan with three infected staff who've been wandering around the ferry and coming to all our little communities. The other thing is they wouldn't let any of the passengers on the ferry get off in Ketchikan, but the next stop being Wrangell, you could get off. You can do whatever you, I mean, they're dropping people off all the way, but nobody could get off because they're worried about infecting Ketchikan. This is just insanity. And again, I hate to say it, but it shows complete ineptness. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. This ferry system is a disaster and they've got to get it together. We rely on it. My son was trying to get his vehicles back from Ketchikan. He was quoted $940 from Ketchikan to Wrangell for one vehicle. It was just over $1,000 to come from Seattle to Wrangell, but $964 from Ketchikan to Wrangell. We've got to get control of this. So I'm going to ask Dan, he left me a message and I'd have to follow up, but we need to look into this. We need to understand what's going on with AML. We need to understand what's going on with our ferry system, and they need to get it under control. It's absolutely ridiculous that these boats are turning into traveling vectors up and down our coastline. We're doing our best to keep this disease at bay in our community, and the ferry's pulling in and with contaminated staff. So I'm not pleased, and I'll be following up some more, and I'll give the assembly an update when I find out. All right. Number 10, mayor and assembly appointments, there are none. Number 11, public hearing, we don't have one tonight. Number 12, unfinished business, there is none. Item 13, excuse me, A, ordinance number 998 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the zoning map to effect a change to Lot 1, Bradley Subdivision 2, from a contract zone commercial to commercial, and for Lot D-A, Pinella Subdivision, from open space / public to commercial.
Move to approve ordinance 998.
Second. Gilbert.
Seconded by Gilbert. Discussion. Lisa, do you want to, we've been watching this one move along. Is there anything you need to let us know about?
Mr. Mayor, actually, Carol Rushmore is on, and I'd like to ask her if she's got anything she would like to add since the since the Planning and Zoning Commission had voted to move this forward.
Carol, anything?
If I have nothing to add, unless the Assembly has questions.
Is any Assembly Member Howe?
This is just for my information. So from what is a contract zone commercial and versus commercial? Just curious.
Yeah, so you all have approved several recent contract zones. And what the contract zone does is it changes a zone, it changes a property from the underlying zone to a commercial or to a light industrial or whatever it may be for a very specific use. So under the contract, only that use approved within the contract is allowable. What is happening now is that any commercial activity listed within the commercial zone could occur on those two lots. That's the difference.
Okay.